a little bit of outdoor inspiration for you. A babbling brook outside from my favorite magic spot. Welcome to Allegra Lowenstein's audio blog. You can find more at AllegraLowenstein.com, AllegraLowenstein. I started today's audio blog episode with the sound of a creek because I've been thinking about feng shui. I don't really know anything about feng shui, but I'll tell you a really long story about why I started thinking about feng shui. Basically, I had kids and started feeling kind of shitty. I was exhausted all the time. I thought it was normal. Everybody was kind of acting like it should be. And it took me a long time to realize that it wasn't normal. What I was feeling was not normal. I finally went to my obstetrician gynecologist who ran some blood tests. Well, all he tested for was hormones. I came back, boom. Oh, you're all normal. You're all normal. There's that word again, normal. But I still felt like shit. I got so convinced that I had developed rheumatoid arthritis. My bones were aching. This happened after both of my sons were born. I got really achy. My joints were aching. Everything was aching. It felt the way that I imagined arthritis to feel. And if you go and Google postpartum arthritis, this is something that women are experiencing, but my obstetrician didn't really want to refer to it as that. He was very hesitant to use the word arthritis. So I don't think it really is arthritis, but that's how the women who experience it are referring to it. So I have a PPO, and I did at the time, so I just self-referred to a rheumatologist. She was super kind because I had absolutely zero symptoms of arthritis, according to the arthritis expert. But she wasn't rude or condescending or any of the things that somebody might be when you show up in their office without any of the symptoms for the thing that they treat. So she looked at the test that I brought in and she basically said, look, I'm sure your obstetrician gynecologist is a great doctor, but he only looked at hormones and that's really incomplete because if you feel like crap, one of the first things you should test for is low iron. Well, this was smart because I actually had tested low in iron in my life before children. But I was so exhausted, I couldn't even make another appointment to have another blood draw. I had done it the first time for the hormones, and I was just so relieved that I didn't have arthritis. I just said, whatever, I'll just take some iron supplements. Months go by, I still feel like crap. And through a series of fortunate events and the great kind of alignment that sometimes happens in life, I ended up realizing that there's a naturopathic college right down the street from my house, minutes away from me, just 5 minutes, and you can go there. They can be your care provider. So you see students, but the students are being supervised by the faculty. And I started going, and they had more blood tests done, and lo and behold, I was low on iron. So I started taking more iron supplements. Again, because I think I'd only taken them for a little while when I self-prescribed. And also, due to a lot of other things, I'll save those for another day, I had some hormone imbalances, probably also post-pregnancies. So they put me on a lot of stuff, herbs, with really no side effects, or herbs considered safe to consume for your entire life if need be. And they balanced my periods. My periods had been ridiculously heavy and long. They're still on the heavy side, but not the way that they were. They're shorter. I started sleeping better. I felt better. They actually keep you on the herbs for a long time because the idea is that you want your body to think that what the herbs are helping your body do is normal. Because if you just regulate and then get off, your body basically wants to go back to what it was doing before because it thinks that's normal. So I'm still on the herbs. They say come in every month or so and we'll just touch base and make sure everything's going good. So I come in every month, maybe every 2 months. I'm checking in and they ask, oh, the appointments are so long. They're hours long. I mean, they're 2 hours. They ask you everything. I think it's great. It's really validating. That's one of the reasons why I go every 2 months, though. It's a long time to be there. So recently they kind of clinged on to this, what I thought was a passing comment, that I was still tired in the afternoons, right? We think it's normal. We think we're supposed to be exhausted. So they did some more hormone tests, some additional tests that they hadn't done before. The results came back. My cortisol is super low. I showed my husband the results. He said, that's good. That's the stress hormone, right? Well, it is the stress hormone, so you don't want it to be high. But when it's super low, it means you have no energy. And it's called adrenal fatigue. And it is an epidemic in our country. We're so busy all the time. We don't rest. We don't relax. This is stuff I tell my coaching clients. This is the advice I give my health coaching clients. And yet, I am suffering the same thing. So this is an interesting twist of fate, which is why it's so helpful to get a professional outside opinion, because sometimes we can rationalize and quote unquote normalize things that are happening to us. So the main point of stress in my life is actually my children. Not because they're bad. I mean, they're great. They're sweet. They're smart. They're helpful. And they fight. People, they fight. You wouldn't believe how they fight. I tell people they fight, and then they say, that whoever I'm telling will say something like, oh yeah, my kids yell at each other all the time. I have to explain. When my kids yell, I praise them for good communication. I'm not even kidding. I praise my children for yelling because my kids fight physical. They beat the crap out of each other. Recently, they started getting bloody noses because they started going for the face. This has been since my youngest began to crawl at 6 months old. For a year and a half, it was one way. That was basically all that I had in me. A year and a half of protecting my younger child from being clobbered, because at that age, it's a pretty big deal. He could really have been damaged, you know, with a 2.5-year-old not even realizing what was happening. But now they're 4 and 6 and they still fight really bad physical, and it's super, super stressful. So I can be having a wonderful day. Suddenly there's these two small people beating the crap out of each other, bloody noses, screaming. It's insane. And I still am the primary caregiver and spend a lot of time with them. So there's not a lot that I feel that is in my control with this. So I'm explaining this to my naturopath, and she says, maybe you should do some feng shui. Maybe you just need to break up the energy in your house, get some positive energy going, just change something up. Well, I'll try anything. I don't have to believe in it. I don't have to think it works. I will try anything these days to stop the fighting. So that brings me to my little soiree with feng shui. And being only an internet expert of feng shui means that I know the most shallow and surface level about it possible. But sometimes even a shallow understanding of something can be very powerful, especially in the field of woo. In my opinion, the woo world is really about reflecting ourselves back to us. So whether you're pulling decks from the tarot card or looking at feng shui, what catches your eye and makes you think, oh yeah, that is what you need to know? Because sometimes we can look at ourselves and look at our life and we think that we're so clear and rational, but we're really, really clouded up by all kinds of things, thoughts, feelings, subconscious stuff, a million and one reasons why we have a hard time seeing things clearly for ourselves. So when I started looking into feng shui, And I'm trying to think, oh, well, what do I need to do? Put a crystal somewhere, get some plants, whatever. I discovered what's called the Bagua map. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Bagua, I think, was how it was spelled. And it's basically the idea that you take a rough square or rectangle and overlay it over your home. And each corner is divided, so the square or rectangle is divided into 9 smaller squares or rectangles. My house just so happens that there's basically 1 room for each area. So there's kind of the entryway and laundry room are kind of one area. And then, because they're right next to each other. And then the living room is one area, the kitchen is one area. The spare bedroom that we use as a TV room is one area. My kids' room is one area. The home office is one area. And my bedroom, the master bedroom, is one area. And then the 2 bathrooms are right next to each other, and they're one area. And then there's a missing area. And so this can be really detrimental to what that area represents, according to the concept of feng shui that I barely understand. And the corner that was missing in my house was career. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I've been working on building my career in my office, which is actually the relationship room. And my husband and I both work from home. And sometimes the boundaries are terrible. We're getting onto the computers late at night and work is totally spilling over into home life. And I thought, no more. I've been wanting to get a pergola and put it out on that patio for ages. And it seemed like a lot of work or too expensive, or I had all these reasons. And suddenly I realized with this feng shui map, I can build out this pergola, kind of extend the home into that area. I can take phone calls out there. It'll be beautiful. It'll be shaded. I'm going to put some outdoor patio furniture. And so I did it. I just finally did it. I bought this pergola that I've been wanting for literally years. Instead of buying outdoor furniture, we had some furniture in another area. And so I took some of that furniture and put it here because I didn't need that much. I did hang a crystal out there. And part of that also for me, it's one of those ones that reflects little rainbows. And my grandmother always had them in her kitchen, and the pergola is right off the kitchen. So now that little crystal is shining rainbows into my kitchen. And that's also making me think of my grandmother who always had rainbows in her kitchen. And it's this idea of expanding into that space, kind of bringing the outdoors in with reflecting that light, and then bringing the indoors out and expanding our living space into that missing corner. So I'm super, super excited about that. And the last thing that I want to do out there, which brings us back to the opening line of today's show episode, I want to put a water feature out there. And again, just tapping into this concept and seeing what reflected back to me. I love the sound of trickling water. I never actually did think to have a water feature out there, even though I love to see them in public parks and gardens. And suddenly it dawned on me that this would be such an amazing place. I'd put it out there. It would be bringing the outdoors in. By making this outdoor water sound, bringing it in, I would hear it in the kitchen, the sliding door and screen door. The sliding door is always open with just a screen shut, so I would hear it all the time. And it was just this bout of inspiration that I got from looking at this map and this idea. Back to my kids fighting, I have to say, the map didn't give me that many ideas to deal with them. But I did get the idea. The kitchen just so happens to overlay over the family area of the map, which I do think is a kind of it's not omen. I forget what that word is. It's the opposite. Omen's the negative version. And there's a positive version of that word. I don't know. I can't think of what the word is. But it's very telling to me. It's very aligned, I should say, to have the family area be in the kitchen, right? We eat many meals together as a family. Kitchen's the heart of the home, all that stuff. But I didn't know how to really vibe up that energy and make something better happen in the kitchen at first. And I was racking my brain. And then I did realize as much as what I think it's a family area, we didn't have any pictures of our family in it. So I hung up a picture kind of in the center in the room underneath a beautiful sign that my cousin and her kids made us, which says happy everything. And it has little symbols of all different holidays throughout the course of the year. So now there's a picture of my family hanging up underneath happy everything. And it hangs also with my children's artwork. I'll try to throw a picture up there also on the blog post. So again, it's just that reaffirmation of wanting to value the family, wanting to honor the family, and racking my brain of how I can do that in this particular room where we do spend a lot of time naturally. And those are my thoughts on feng shui, why I wanted to start this episode with a trickling stream, how sometimes we go on really circuitous paths to figure out what's really at the root of our problems. Right, I was not thinking about my kids fighting when I was dealing with really what ultimately ended up being kind of serious health issues, right? It's pretty serious when your adrenals are fatigued. It's sadly common. I'm not alone. It's a really, really, really common problem, and it's because we have fast-paced life with too much pressure. But circling that around to figure out that it's actually coming back to my home life. Again, you kind of want to smack your head. It's a little bit obvious, but until we clear it out and we get reflected back from a professional or we get reflected back from some tool of woo, sometimes we don't see it for what it is. And then to just take a moment and slow down once we have gotten that reflection back of what our issue really is and ask ourselves what small thing can I do to improve this? So not only did I put a picture of our family up, which now my kids are going to see, and it's just going to further enhance a feeling of togetherness, but they are also going to benefit from the pergola being out on the patio. We spend so much time outside, but when the sun gets really strong, it's not that pleasant out there. And now we have this shade-providing area, which I know ultimately they're going to be using too. And working with a health coach is actually like that too. And if you buy my journals and work through them, it's kind of the same way. It's question after question, whether you're working with me one-on-one as a client or whether you're working through my journals, it's question after question where we just are exploring different ways of looking at what's going on. Because sometimes we don't get to the root of the issue right away. I had a client who didn't tell me for 5 weeks that she was eating all these sweets at night while watching TV and playing Candy Crush at the same time. And when she finally shared that with me, I think she didn't want to give it up, right? She was using it to de-stress, and that's fine. I don't villainize habits that we have because we actually always have them for a reason. There was stress and she needed to de-stress. This habit served that purpose, but the consequence was it was contributing to weight that she didn't want. And it took time to get to that. Took time to acknowledge what was at the root of the problem. And then viewing it from the lens of stress was really freeing for her. And that is the benefit that we can get, whether we're working through it on our own by answering journal questions, or whether we're working through it with a trained professional like a health coach or a holistic health practitioner like a naturopath. Even sometimes we're working it through with our best friend, right? And our best friend is helping us get to the root behind it. But that accountability that you get by bringing somebody else on board is so powerful, such a big motivator, and really gets you to the end results faster and with less suffering and pain, right? Because imagine you want to lose weight. Okay, I have a client, and first time we ever talked, she's telling me, well, I have a friend who's doing keto, and I have a friend who's doing paleo, and I have a friend who's doing this, and I have a friend who's doing that, and they're all losing 10 to 20 pounds. And I said, okay, she didn't actually have that many friends, but it was more than one. It was, I think there was two. And I said, how long have they been doing it? And she said, a month and 3 weeks or something, or 6 weeks. I said, okay, you tell me in 6 months whether or not they're still doing it and whether or not they have the weight off. Because that's the problem, right? We do these crazy things because we just want to get rid of the weight. We just want to get it off of us. We don't really want to face the issue behind the issue. We want to tell ourselves that the weight is the problem. And the weight's not the problem, actually. The weight's the symptom. There's something else behind the problem. It takes time, it takes patience, and it takes support to figure that out. But when you do, and you give it that time and attention that it needs, you actually don't have to do all that other bullshit. You don't have to do the keto diet. Who wants to do the keto diet? Who doesn't ever want to eat bread again? That sounds terrible. I love bread. I love sugar. I love all these things. Do I binge on them and overdo it? No, because I worked through my issues years ago with professional help, with traditional Chinese medicine, and a lot of self-help books. Nobody really wants to live that way, and then that's why those approaches don't work. But we go into it thinking, all I have to do is follow these steps and I'm going to fix the problem, and then that's that. And what we do is we follow those steps, we get rid of the weight, we lose it, but it sucks, so we don't keep doing it, and then we go back to the old way, and the old way is actually coping with some other issue that we never dealt with, and so we end up in the same place and actually worse off, because going on restrictive diets and going off of restrictive diets and losing weight and gaining weight is terrible for you. It messes up your metabolism. It makes future weight loss harder. So please, whatever you're doing, don't do fad diets. They don't work. We all know it. We don't want to admit it. Okay? But I'm telling you right now, it makes it harder and it makes it worse. And if you really want to make lasting change, it doesn't have to be complicated. It really doesn't, but you have to take the time, slow down, examine what is really going on, reach out for support if you are clouded, which we almost all are. We are all clouded. We don't want to admit what's really going on. We can't. We can't even see it. And that's why professionally trained people and sometimes other weird modes can help us get to the point faster. If this is resonating with you and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this sounds great, you should definitely buy one or both of my journals at AllegraLowenstein.com, AllegraLowenstein. They're fantastic tools. They came out of my work with my real one-on-one clients. I did additional research to structure them in a way that makes sense. So they're self-contained. They're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. I have an amazing graphic designer and she made them look awesome and fantastic. And you are going to get so much insight out of this. You're going to be connected with your own intuition. You're going to know what's really going on with your body. You're going to understand what's really driving behind the root of whatever you think the problem is, whether it's extra weight or, you know, your doctor told you they had cholesterol or whatever it was. Or you just know that you binge on food and feel like shit. That's a perfectly fine reason to want to make change. Check it out. I have my journals. I know that they can help you. The things that women share from working through these journals is powerful and life-changing, and it really only takes 5 to 10 minutes a day. That's the type of work that it takes to make sustained changes so that you can really get rid of the habits that are actually causing the extra weight and get to the root of the problem. And you don't have to give up your favorite foods. You can eat them all, because when you're not binging at night, it's pretty much not going to be a problem. Why are you binging at night? There is a reason. Your reason is different than my reason, is different than my client's reasons. Your job is to figure out what that reason is, and my journals will help you do it. Grab the journals, AllegraLowenstein.com. Body Wisdom Journal is coming out June 12th. Emotional Eating Detox is already out, and I have more underway. So whatever calls to you, I'm going to create a journal for it. I promise. Just give me a few more months, and I'll have another one on its way. Hope to hear from you. Hope to see you online. Have a happy, healthy day, and take care.